Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this personnel meeting on this very warm October evening. I just wanted to let everybody know that under the openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Thank you, everybody. Do we have any apologies?
No.
No apologies. Minutes of the previous meeting. I have it here. It's been attached to the website and the meeting. Happy to move them as true records?
Good. Tom, I was just thinking we didn't have a vote on there. Should that have been recorded on the minutes?
On which item, sorry? On the
appointment. This is joint negotiation consultative committee.
It's not usual to do that unless you specifically ask for it. The only committee that you tend to do it for is the actual council meeting.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Tart, for raising that point. If you're happy for me to accept it, I'll sign and hand it back to Democratic Services after the meeting. Item three is disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I don't see any declarations, which means we go to item four, which is questions and committee procedures. 12.8, we have no questions submitted. And then we swiftly go to item five, which is retirement policy and procedures. And we have the reports here, and we have some officers present. And I'm going to ask them briefly to highlight any points that they want to make the committee aware of, and then we will open up the members.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the retirement policy, it's essentially we've reviewed the policy to ensure it's reflective to any legislation changes since it was last updated around pension provisions in relation to retirement. It's also to help with the processing of any flexible retirement requests. flexible retirement application form has also been introduced as a supporting document which wasn't actually with it previously. Also, the previous policy was 26 pages, was actually quite lengthy to find the relevant details in the context of what it was required. So a lot of information within it was repetitive, so we've actually thinned down a lot of the repetition, so it's actually much slicker to follow through. The key changes are actually a clearer definition of the retirement options so that employees can understand those. The flexible retirement application form has, as I say, been added, and that needs to be completed to initiate any flexible retirement requests now. And the options have been numbered for clarity and reference to make the navigation through the process much easier. And there's also been the removal of the 85-year rule, and that's in line with the LGPS regulations, and that's been moved to the glossary of reference at the rear of the policy now, as opposed to being key within that, and that's in line with what the pension requirements have asked us to do. So they're the key changes, but there's nothing that's changed to anybody's detriment, or it's just literally modernised it and made it much clearer for anybody to follow.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Members, any questions? Yeah.
And just a quick one, I was curious. If somebody takes temporary retirement as a tier three, would they be eligible for re-employment by the council?
So if they get a tier three ill health retirement,
yes.
Should they become well after, I think it's a 3-year period,
yes.
They could
yes.
be re-employed.
They
yes.
could be. Just curious, thank
yeah.
you.
Yes,
Councillor. Page 14, it talks about if the proposal appears to be one that the council may wish to approve, the deputy should discuss with the scheme member the possible basis, the time and capacity plan, and inform the personnel committee. What's that all about?
Sorry, can you just tell me which?
Yeah, it's page 14, and it's there's a little bit at the top, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph. It refers to the personnel committee. I don't understand that.
Is it if there's a cost?
Yeah.
I think it's if there's a cost.
I think some of our
page 4 or page 14.
Yeah, sorry, because we've got a different.
Yeah, page 4 of the policy itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's if there's a pension cost to release the pension for that employee to take their pension early, it has to be considered whether that cost, you know, some of the cost can be actually in hundreds of thousands of pounds. It's not just...
So he has to wait for a personnel committee, sorry, Chairman, through you. So it has to wait for a personnel committee to meet to actually do that. I don't quite understand it.
That's just in the guidance that it's a personnel committee decision. It's not our choice to include that. That's just what has to be decided to release those funds.
There's a couple of pensions.
There are a few pensions.
There's a couple of pension provisions that go through this process, and it will be a personnel committee decision. We've never convened a special personnel committee to consider that, so it will be that it will come to.
Because I've been on this for a while, but I've never seen that before.
No.
Well,
it's very rare that it would be.
We have actually got a request in process, actually, so depending on the documentation, then this may be something
we'll test it. Yeah.
Well, see to consider. Now, actually, you raise a good point. Actually, do we want to? I mean, it is quite a process because in this particular case, without going into the detail, you know, they've said, you know, I would like to have my pension early, and that's sort of fine. But then we've asked for the evidence on that, and one reason we've been quite particular about the evidence is that we think we're coming here, so. You know, so basically to demonstrate from to a committee point of view that we've been through the process, so you know, potentially we could, I don't know actually, you know, potentially I could circulate it online and see if you've got any problems or if you'd like to discuss it, so maybe we could take that as approval. To be honest, I don't know whether that's quite legitimate or not, but we will be testing the process, so do we either do that or have some sort of convening, special convening of the committee, but hopefully it's one of those where, having got the evidence one way or another, it's hopefully going to be clear cut when we get to the point. But yes, Councillor Snott, you may well be seeing an example of that in the relatively near future.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any further? Could I just do you have anybody, any people that are on job share?
We do have job share.
How does that, when you're looking at flexible retirement, how do you actually do that?
Well, obviously, each job share, even though they're sharing a job, they're a part-time employee, even though it's part of a job share role. So if they meet the provisions to apply under flexible retirement, in the first instance, we offer up those additional hours to the job share partner if they would want to increase their hours. And then, depending on what the role is, it's not uncommon that we have to tell the employee that until we can find a job share partner to match the other person, that we can't approve the retirement process until that role is fully manned. So it's
it talks about 40%, doesn't it?
Of their hours.
Yeah, so it'll be 40% of the job share.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Councillor Hampton?
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick question, because if you produce any new kind of pensions documents, obviously our employees are terribly interested in it, so how is this going to be communicated? Say we publish on the internet, but is there going to be any further communication to staff about what it means?
Yeah, any policy changes we always put in the One Charmwood publication, so everybody's made aware of it, and then it goes on to our ATZ on the internet site of HR documents.
Okay, brilliant.
Any further questions? If not, we are asked to agree the amendments to the retirement policy and procedures and the introduction of the retirement policy application form. We have to do that. All in favour?
Agreed.
Thank you very much, unanimous. Which then takes us to item 6, I believe, which is the reasonable adjustment passport. Open it to yourself again.
Okay. Thank you. So the reasonable adjustment passport is a GMB initiative that was raised with us through our trade union management meeting. So we took on board a GMB document and we adapted that for use at Charnwood. We put it through the process, we jumped on who were in favour of it, and our equalities working group, who contributed towards its development, and all have agreed that it'll be a useful document to have at Charnwood. So we've got two documents. We've got the summary, which covers the principles of reasonable adjustments, the background, the legislative aspects, and how to go through the process of putting the reasonable adjustment passport in place. The passport is a voluntary document for an employee to use. So it's there to aid a discussion between an employee and a manager and look at any reasonable adjustments that somebody thinks they might need to remove barriers in the workplace and enable them to do their jobs. And through this process, they can consider those requests for reasonable adjustments and in the final version, obviously document clearly what's been agreed for that employee. If the employee has a new line manager, we obviously encourage them to share this document with the new line manager so that they can be aware of those reasonable adjustments. If they change job, again, we encourage them to share this because it might be that it needs to be reviewed. There might be different adjustments that might be needed in that new role. So it's really just intended to be a supportive document to aid that discussion and have something clearly documented for the employee. And it's suggested in there that it's reviewed at a 6-month point to make sure that everything that's been agreed is working.
Yeah.
And to link into that, we've just updated the attendance management policy and guidance to reflect the passport.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Any questions from members? Councillor Starr.
How does this fit in with the PDR? I just can't get my head around why, when we've got a PDR, a way to actually talk to employees, say that we should actually do that for a certain period of time. How it's a voluntary thing, this. How do we actually know that we're going in the right way with the PDR?
So the Equalities Group, when they considered this, asked that this be included within the personal review process because there's been a new health and wellbeing section within the personal reviews. So they felt that would link nicely to this, and if the employee needed to and wanted to have a discussion on reasonable adjustments, that could be done as part of that personal review process then when you look at the health and wellbeing side. It can also be done outside of that. It doesn't have to wait for the personal review. It can be discussed at any point, but it's just a way of making sure if that discussion needs to happen, there's a link for the manager to obviously explain that passport's there that can be used for an employee that needs to.
Do we know what the take-up will be? Sorry, through you, Chairman. Do we know what the take-up will be of this? What I'm thinking about is that some will, some won't, and then it looks a lot of extra sort of work where I think the PDR should actually take this up anyway. I don't understand really how we can go, from a voluntary thing. Some people will, some people won't. And I just can't get my head around it, if you like.
I think we sometimes get employees that haven't been able to have that formal conversation about reasonable adjustments. So we've had cases where they feel things haven't been implemented because there's not been the opportunity to have the discussion, or there's not a record of reasonable adjustments that have been agreed. So there's been some dispute over that adjustment should be in place, and the manager and employee might not feel the same about that. So it's intended really just to aid that discussion, but also to clearly document the agreement. So if the employee or the manager needs to look at that or refer to it in future, it's there. It's a clear record of the support the council will put in place for that employee.
Mm. It's also an opportunity, should that employee move to another post within the council, it's transferable with that person. So that initiates that conversation when they move to the new manager to say, well, actually, I've got this disability, these are previous adjustments, here's a record of how it's worked, and it is transferable in that respect. Just so to aid that.
This will sit at the side of the PDR, if you like, in terms of this will be an extra document.
Potentially, it'll work with it, but it can also work on its own to aid the support for that employee.
Can I make a suggestion, Chair, that we actually bring this back after it's bedded in to see what the uptake is?
You can do, but what we'll do, I'll go to the other members first, discussion, and then we'll come back.
Can I just, one other thing is that page 37, it's the review, and it said worker's signature. What's worker's signature? We've got your signature, and then worker's signature. I don't understand, it's not a word we use, workers.
We could change that to manager's signature. So it should really be manager's signature, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
So thank you, we'll change that
one. We don't use language like that, do we, Norman? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've got Councillor Hamilton and I've got Councillor Haynes.
To be honest, I'm not quite sure if it's simply a rephrasing a question that Councillor Snart asked, but it is, there's always been a requirement to make reasonable adjustments. So do you anticipate or do you desire there to be almost like a lift and shift of any existing reasonable adjustments to this? In other words, will there be an upfront workload when this is introduced? Rather than something that just slowly glides in, but you might suddenly have this lump of work as people formalise a record of any existing reasonable adjustments.
It's anticipated. I don't think it will be that great. I think a lot of employees will use it at a point they feel it's needed, as opposed to, I need an adjustment, I'm going to fill it in now. I think it will be on a more as and when basis.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's very similar. If it already exists somewhere else, whether or not...
But it could be raised as part of that one-to-one. Okay. You know, I think most managers will be aware of the requirements anyway.
Okay.
Councillor
Haynes? Yeah, a few things. First of all, what's a PDR?
Personal review.
Ah, thank you.
Sorry. Now yeah. Being rebranded as personal review.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I think this is a document that the employee has ownership of, and they basically carry it around with them for their use, isn't it?
They own it.
Okay, thank you. I'm assuming that the reasonable adjustments would initially be based on a full risk assessment?
They normally are.
I mean, there might be some simple reasonable adjustments that you can just agree and that can be documented here, but we do talk in the summary about the risk assessment and the health and safety side that can also support the reasonable adjustment process.
Okay, thank you. And finally, you're talking about in part of the, I think it's Appendix B, about the provisions of the Equalities Act. If you've had cancer or if you have HIV, you're also permanently qualified under the Equalities Act, and I wondered if that might be worth adding into the document.
Yeah, we can look at that and add into the summary document for clarification. But we do treat that in that way anyway,
It's just for people that wouldn't know that looked at the document, yeah.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Any further questions? If not, Councillor Snart had a suggestion that we bring it back. When did you...?
I would think in two or three... it's got to bed in first,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
So I would think nine months.
So about a year's time, I'd say, really, with our timetable there, because we've got two or three meetings.
I would be interested to see how many employees take it up. I mean, it says that the union would actually be represented with them, and doesn't say that they can bring a friend or a colleague from the group. So there are sort of things there that I think could be expanded.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
So through you, Chair, you've all agreed the 9 months.
When it fits in with the meeting cycle, because we've got to give it enough time for it to bed in and be practically used. So the recommendation is that the Personnel Committee agree the instruction of the Reasonable Adjustment Passport and Reasonable Adjustment Summary and the associated proposed amendments to the Attendance Management Policy and the Attendance Management Guidance.
Just two amendments, the change of the word worker to to manager, and then adding into the summary document the cancer and HIV.
Mm-hmm. Including those recommendations. Are we all happy to agree?
Yeah, agree.
In favour? Thank you. Unanimous. Cheers. Thank you very much. And I believe that is everything on our agenda, so thank you very much, everybody, and I close the meeting.